The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Reeves was back. The Chiefs win again. Ninth in a row for the Chiefs. Remember early in the season, if you were listening the whole time, Chiefs been number one in my power rankings, as they say, since day one. Just recall last year's playoffs. If you did power rankings every week after the playoffs, Chiefs get the bye, and then they're down to Houston. They're down to Tennessee. They're down to San Francisco. All they did was win the Super Bowl. But if you said, are they the most dominant team after? No. You wouldn't have them number one in your power rankings. That's the Chiefs. And so once again, it was a one-score game. They won by a field goal. It's a little deceptive, that score. It was not quite as competitive as that, in fact. They won their ninth in a row now, 40-30, since they're 40-32. Lost to the Raiders, of loss they avenged. And they moved into an NFL-best position, 13-1 record. Oh, they were already in the best position. They've also won all eight road games this season, although road wins are less uncommon. They're more common this year because fans aren't there, obviously, and you can hear the cadence on the road and stuff like that. Let me say something. Drew Brees, a lot of people say, was rushed back. He shouldn't have played against the Chiefs. I totally disagree. We argued about it on First Take today. Drew Brees had to come back against the Saints if he could play. Number one, you want to be the number one seed in the NFC because you get that bye in the first round. That is incredibly important. I've gone through the math in the past. If you're 80% likely to win in the first round and 60% in the next round, you're like, oh, good. Oh, we're going to win in the first round. Probably going to win in the second round, too. You know what your odds are to win both? 48%. You got to multiply them. So you're under 50-50 to win those two games. You get the bye in the first round. Now your odds to win that second game, to get to the conference championship, 60%, from 48 to 60%. From less likely than likely to more than likely. To more likely than unlikely. That's huge. But number two, and this may be even bigger for the Saints, or at least as big, it's one thing to play better at home because you're in a climate-controlled environment in a dome. Because that translates no matter where you go. Even if, it's good weather, but it's not the dome. It's not your house, right? It's not perfectly climate-controlled, let alone the hometown fans. It's another thing to go from that to the frozen tundra with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, try to beat Aaron Rodgers in those conditions. If you are the Saints, you absolutely do not want to have to go to Green Bay in the playoffs. And yet, they really may have to. They may have to. And that's what, but look, you have to give it your best shot. So did Taysom Hill give you your best shot? I don't think so. You can point to the record of Drew Brees' backups in recent years. What is it now, 8-1 or something like that? They're not better off without Drew Brees. Lots of things can explain that. Small sample size. You know how it is when a star goes down, everyone else feels like they have to step up over small windows. Players can do that. They can run on adrenaline and, but they're not better off without Drew Brees. And by the way, even if Drew Brees looked confused by the defense at time, didn't look so mobile, you got to get his feet wet on the way to the playoffs. They're going to be competing for a Super Bowl. And by the way, it did wind up being a one field goal game. When they were in the red zone, Taysom Hill still ran it in. And by the way, who wasn't playing? We still haven't seen the Saints team operate with their full complement of weapons. Not for very long. There was no Michael Thomas. Remember the dime to Emmanuel Sanders down the sideline? It's nice, right? Because look at this. Drew Brees has a number two receiver. He's never had that, really. Kamara's been his second best receiver. Kamara's the running back. And one of the best in the business. But still, it says something if your running back is your second best receiver. Well, but you have Emmanuel Sanders now, and now you don't have your number one guy. Now Michael Thomas, who's an all-time great, by the way. He's all-time great. No Michael Thomas. So without his number one receiver, coming back from a punctured lungs and 11 fractured ribs against the best team in the world, the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs, and off to a slow start, right, offensively at least, they still only lost by a field goal. You can't look at what the result was and then retroactively you go back and go, see, they shouldn't have started him. No, they should have started him. It didn't work out, but it wasn't the wrong decision. Here's Sean Payton, of course, Saints head coach, after the game.
offensively, we didn't start real well. And so it's hard to just point to one position, but I felt like our third down numbers weren't good enough today. I didn't feel like we ran the ball efficiently when we tried. You know, give Kansas City credit. We battled back in the game, but you've got to be better on third down. And when you're not, you don't have those attempts. You don't have the snaps, the time of possession, all the things you need against a good offense like that. You know, we talk about time of possession in a game like this, and that includes converting third down. So overall, offensively, we weren't very sharp.
If I were a Saints fan, I'd be buoyed by this. Drew Brees coming back, not playing very well. No Michael Thomas against the Chiefs, and you lose by a field goal. Like, for people writing off the Saints now, Saints could easily be in the Super Bowl this year, and if you're in it, you got a chance to win it. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. New York Jets, hold on. 888 say ESPN. Hey, Jets fans. There was a topic Stephen A. and I did on First Take a while ago. What was the dumbest play of that weekend? It was between Greg Williams' call, right, play call, that got him fired, and the Falcons letting the Cowboys' onside kick bounce around as though it was a punt. That, like, both of those plays were idiotic, right? It was weird because the Falcons, it was, like, contagious. How do five guys all mistake what's going on at the same time? Versus Greg Williams, it's like the only thing you could do. You give up a completion, it doesn't matter. Just don't let anyone get behind the defense, right? You can't sell out. You can't go, you know. Anyway, the point is, that was a good contest of stupidity. What's the bigger, like, dumb move of the weekend? Was it Carson Wentz saying that if he's not going to start, he wants out of there? Like, some other team is going to start him? Like, he has a movable contract? Or was it the Jets winning? Why would you? If you're the Jets, where do you think you're going this season? What are you playing for? You think Adam Gase is going to keep his job? Do you want him to keep his job? You just gave up the number one overall pick? Why? For what? I mean, the Rams, look, L.A., the Rams fell into a trap. And the reason I think the Rams are not ready to win a Super Bowl this year is they're susceptible to it. I think the Niners, even though it's a divisional game, was sort of a trap game. And I think this Jets loss was a trap game loss. I mean, a trap game. The Jets shouldn't be able to trap anybody, right? But in this case, the Rams are taking some things for granted. And that tells me they're not ready yet. I think L.A. is good. I don't know if the Rams are good enough to win the whole thing right now based on what I'm seeing in games like this. But the Jets. Look, you might like Sam Darnold. He's famously younger than Joe Burrow, right? Like, Sam Darnold's young. He may have a good career. It ain't going to be with the Jets. Let me tell you, Jets fans, 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to get to you in a second. Let me tell you what you need at quarterback. It's the only kind of quarterback that'll work in that dysfunctional franchise. There are a few players that are going to be great independent of coaching or circumstance. How great they are may be dependent on that. Tom Brady was going to be great no matter where he went. It was in him. He wouldn't have been the GOAT without Belichick, right? There are a couple guys like that. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, to one degree or another, these guys, they were going to be great. How great? Mahomes benefits from being with Andy Reid and all these receivers, of course. Aaron Rodgers, maybe he has LaFleur, maybe Mike McCarthy. It wasn't good for a while there at the end, right? But they're all going to be great. Most guys are not like that. You know, Alex Smith, he gets to the league. He has three offensive coordinators in 3 years, whatever it was. Oh, he's a first-round bust. Well, maybe he's a number one overall pick, but not a first-round bust. Alex Smith, a very good quarterback. He needed some stability. He needed to be in the right situation. We saw this with Nick Foles. Wow. Chip Kelly, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. We saw it at Arizona. Then he goes to Jeff Fisher. Boy, Nick Foles is garbage. Then he gets back to the Eagles. Look at this. He won the Super Bowl MVP. Most players are like that. Jets can't have that kind of player. Jets cannot have a player, a B-plus quarterback, whose success is highly dependent upon his surroundings because they'll ruin him. The Jets need a surefire, even they can't screw this guy up type quarterback. Like a Trevor Lawrence or maybe a Justin Fields. They need a guy like that. In fact, see what I'm saying? They need a number one overall pick. They need a surefire. That guy can't be bad. But they'd rather beat the Rams for one regular season win this year. Shrewd, Jets. Shrewd. Crawdaddy in New York. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? Listen, I am not mad at the Jets for winning. I'm mad at the Rams for not beating them. They had so much to play for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they lose to the Jets.
By the way, Crawdaddy is right in New York. That's absolutely right. That's a brilliant point. That might be the first brilliant point I've heard from a caller on this show. That's a brilliant point. Don't get mad at the Jets for winning. You're supposed to compete. Jets fans, you should be mad at L.A. And in L.A. right now, you know what I'm talking about. Because you are mad at your team. But Jets fans should also be mad at the Rams. What the hell are you doing losing to the Jets? Of course they're going to compete. NFL players are not just going, well, the team needs a draft pick next year. Let's try not to make the play. But how do the Rams allow the Jets to beat them? Oh, that's a great point. Dino in the Bronx, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max, you think the Jets are really that bad, or you think they're all right? Because they almost beat the Raiders, too.
Yeah, I think they're really that bad. An NFL team, you play 16 games, or whatever, 13 games so far. 13 or 14 now for the Jets. 14 games. You play 14 games. You're going to have a couple of days where you come close. There are professionals on the field. You know, Sam Darnold was a high first-round pick. In many seasons, many drafts, Darnold would have gone first. He didn't go first. It was atypical that a team had the guts to take a shorter quarterback who didn't check all the boxes like Baker Mayfield. At the time, I thought that was the right pick, and then I wasn't so sure, and now maybe it looks like it was again. But usually a guy like Darnold, he checks all the boxes. He has size. He has athletic ability. He can throw. He's accurate enough. He's a leader. Check, 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 check. So they have some players on the team. Of course, they're going to come close to beating a team. The Raiders are not great. They're okay. They're a 500 team. They're kind of an average NFL team. So the fact that the Jets came close to almost beating an average NFL team one time, and they got a win against the Rams. No, that's why the previous caller, I'm forgetting his name already, was absolutely right. If you're a Jets fan right now, you should be as angry at LA as LA is at the Rams right now. In fact, if you're a Jets fan, you should be angrier. LA had something to play for. What does LA need? They got Jared Goff, who is the number one overall pick in the draft. They have a great young coach. They have sick talent on the defense, including one of the greatest defenders who ever lived in his prime. I'll say the greatest defensive tackle I've ever seen. In his prime, in Aaron Donald. And arguably, Donald's in the conversation like, you can't say he's better than Patrick Mahomes, but is he as good at his position as anyone is at theirs or better? Probably the answer in the NFL right now, I'm trying to think, is there anyone? No, I would say Mahomes at quarterback, Donald at defensive tackle, and it's unclear, in fact, who's better for their position. That is, and then they have other guys on defense. They have guys who can rush the passer. They have a shutdown corner. They got guys. How do they lose to the Jets? News from Max Kellerman Nation. Dino just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line to suggest, Dino from the Bronx, that maybe the Jets are better than we think because they almost also beat a 500 team at one point this season. Meantime, after a slow start, Brady and the Bucks rally for a win against the Falcons. He now has 7 career comebacks when trailing by 17 or more points, which ties with Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers, actually, for the most in NFL history, per the Elias Sports Bureau. Here is Tom Brady, the GOAT, on his thoughts on his latest comeback win.
Yeah, it was great poise by everybody. And, everybody hung in there. It got off to a tough start, but found a way to win. And defense came up huge, made some big stops. Offensively, everyone made a bunch of different plays. And it was a great win for our team. And we're going to have to keep building on it.
Look, I mean, it was against the Falcons. They're known for collapsing, not just against Tom Brady. So, Falcons fans, they're up a couple scores. They're like, oh, they have us just where they want us. It was a good comeback. Tom Brady has an excellent team around him, and he's showing that he is gives you a premium over just an average quarterback. He's better than that. He's not elite anymore, but he's really doing something at the age of 43. Of course, let's keep in mind, with Bill Belichick last year and zero offensive weapons, they won 12 games. That's more than he's going to win this year with the Bucs. Meantime, Jalen Hurts makes a strong case to keep the Eagles' quarterback job in a loss. Hurts is making made his second straight start in place of Carson Wentz, who's been benched, threw three touchdowns, ran for another 20. It was a loss, 33-26 to Arizona, but he threw for 338 yards and rushed for 63. And he nearly had a comeback. It just fell short. Wentz, let me get into this for a second, because there are two different stories here, okay? Hurts and Wentz. But they both lead to the same place. Let's start with Wentz. I used to be super high on Wentz. I said he was the MVP in 2017 until he got hurt. But what has transpired over these last two seasons is unlike anything I've ever seen. And we've been through on the show, his cataclysmic regression time and again, right? But Carson Wentz went to an altogether different level this weekend. It was so disappointing. Look, Adam Schefter reported, and so who's leaking that? The team is leaking this? And it seems like Wentz's side would leak this. That Wentz is unhappy being the backup. And wait for it. He's unhappy with how this season has unfolded and how the team has handled it. I mean, that's staggering, the gall of this guy. It's indefensible. The guy was statistically the worst starting quarterback in the entire league. Is Wentz kidding? He still has the most turnover-worthy plays in the whole league. You know that? He hasn't played in over 9 quarters. He's leading the league in turnover-worthy plays. So how's the season unfolded? Wentz, that you don't like. Is that a joke? People always talk about like being the consummate teammate. This is the opposite of that. It's Carson Wentz is the answer, the opposite of a consummate teammate. And by the way, if that absurdity of Wentz is not enough, he points this out right before Jalen Hurts is due to make his second start in the NFL. There's a pretty clear reason now why Wentz wanted to upend this start from Hurts, but I'm going to get to that in a second. Let's talk Jalen Hurts for a second. Last week, the Eagles jumped on the Saints early, right? There's no Drew Brees. And Hurts did a terrific job. He ran for over 100 yards. First start going up against the number one defense in football. And they won. But this week against Arizona, everything goes wrong to start the game. Hurts gets called for intentional grounding in the end zone, safety. Special teams has a punt blocked. Before you knew it, you look up, 16-0. Eagles are going to get rolled, right? But then Hurts settles in. Did he roll over or did he show character? He looks sensational. Let's be clear, he's a rookie making his second start. So it's possible that there's an element of fool's gold. But let's talk about what jumped out. Where Hurts really beat the Saints with his legs, because he ran for 106 yards, he threw the ball against Arizona yesterday in a way I didn't know was possible, especially this early in his career. He made every type of throw, and he was accurate again and again with the football. 24 for 44 altogether, 338 yards, 3 TDs, rushing for another touchdown, a quarterback rating over 102. So now in his first two starts, Hurts is thrown for 5 touchdowns with no interceptions. And Hurts gets all of this done with skill position players in an offensive line that all the Wentz apologists said were the reason Wentz was playing so terribly. It's not just the numbers he's putting up either. It's the way Hurts is doing it. His composure and leadership have been evident through these two games. After looking like the Eagles were going to get run out of the building, he rallied them all the way back. And by the way, he might have taken a lead if special teams could have converted the PAT, right? Hurts becomes the first Eagles quarterback to throw for 3 touchdowns in the first half. Listen to this. I'm going to go an extra 60 seconds, guys. Since Nick Foles, it's 2017. The first Eagles quarterback to complete 7 chunk plays, more than 20 yards, since Nick Foles in 2018. What's more shocking was how he was doing it, because we knew he was an outstanding athlete. But he could place the ball, and that gets to something really interesting. And, you know, it's the reason I thought Peterson didn't bench Wentz earlier, and I'm going to get to that after the break. This is really interesting about Doug Peterson and what's going on with Wentz and Hurts. Meantime, something also happened in the NFL that hasn't happened since 2008. We're going to get to that.
Max, the podcast.
Let me just tell you, I took you through so far Wentz, Hurts, and Peterson, because there are two different stories here, right? I'll catch you up real quick if you're just joining us. There's Wentz, who leaks to the press, apparently. Why would the team leak it? That he's not happy if he's backing up Hurts. He doesn't like the way the team's handled it. What? Worst statistical quarterback in football this year, starting quarterback in football. The most turnover-worthy plays in the league, in spite of not having played the last nine quarters, right? I brought up the fact that not only was Hurts excellent running the ball 2 weeks ago, but yesterday, throwing the ball. And he did it after a disastrous start. Everything that could go wrong would. He was down 16-0, but he persevered and he was accurate and excellent. And then I pointed out all these chunk plays he had and touchdowns, no interceptions, and how Wentz apologists were saying, well, he doesn't have the weapons, he doesn't have the offensive line. Well, okay, well, how come he's not turning the ball over like Wentz was? And he's throwing all these touchdowns. What about that? And these are the most that any quarterback has had for the Eagles, not since Wentz, since Foles in 17, since Foles in 18. Why is it that a 40-year-old quarterback on one leg, Josh McCown, can come in a playoff game, and they lose by the same score that the Eagles lost to the same team in Week 12. What's going on here? Okay, so this is what it all leads me to, all right? Okay, that's what was most shocking. Where Hurts was doing it, right? This is what's really interesting. We believe that the reason that Peterson didn't bench Wentz earlier, at least I believe this, whether or not I was joined by other people, but I think generally people thought that Hurts couldn't be showing anything in practice. If he was showing anything, the way there would be a point of emphasis on ball security all week, one would imagine, from the Eagles, and then Wentz does the same stuff again and again. The worst sacks you could take, the worst interceptions, right? It actually appears, I think it was the opposite. Hurts must have been flashing at practice at least enough that Peterson in the front office felt there was a legitimate chance that had to translate to actual games. That's why they drafted him in the second round. Do you remember when I actually had to sit here and listen to people tell me, these fools tell me, beat me in the head with, well, they're drafting for because Wentz is injury. What? You got a veteran signal caller on the free agent, you know, off the scrap heap to back a guy up. You draft a quarterback in the second round instead of trading for a wideout or trading up in the draft to get a better wideout. When you need help in that area, you're only doing that as a hedge against the guy you got. You think maybe he's not the guy, and you've identified a franchise quarterback. By the way, all Jalen Hurts has done is succeed for Nick Saban and succeed for Lincoln Riley, right? Like, what? Dude is blue chip. But how does that translate to the pros, right? He can run. Can he throw? Yeah, he can. I think the reason they held him back was not that he wasn't showing anything in practice. That if they showed something and he even flashed in the game, they have an even bigger Carson Wentz problem, which they have now. Look what happened. Carson Wentz, the day of the second game that this kid is starting, Hurts is starting, releases. He's unhappy. He wants to be traded. They waited forever before sitting Wentz. I mean, because there's no way that Hurts was showing nothing in practice and played like that. Not a chance. Zero chance. He had to be showing something. The other person who clearly knew Hurts was showing something in practice was Carson Wentz. Why else would Wentz leak the story on the day that Hurts is starting to try to upend the team's performance? He knew that Hurts had the possibility of this performance in him. And don't tell me the Eagles leaked this, by the way, because it actively makes their situation worse by making an immovable contract in Carson Wentz. This is what they were worried about. Harder to move. By the way, Wentz seems to be delusional enough to think that there is a market for his services at that price. Now, listen to this. Here's what's really going to happen now, and this is what's nuts. Think of all the stuff that the Eagles still need, because Carson Wentz can't live up to the contract, right? He needs a defense. He needs all these weapons, which, by the way, his replacement quarterbacks don't, apparently. They're not going to be able to draft those guys, because they're going to have to use draft capital to get someone to take Wentz's putrid contract. And this finally leads me to Doug Peterson. It finally leads me to Peterson, because we've all been killing Doug Peterson this season. There was an argument I was making last week, in fact, that, you know, the team functions better without Wentz, right? And we know what happened in 2017, outduels Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and wins MVP. That should be an anomaly. I mentioned it's not. Next year, they're sub 500, dead in the water, 5-6. Foles takes over. They catch fire, make the playoffs, beat the Bears at Soldier Field, who were one of the favorites in the NFC with that defense. And by the way, if Alshon Jeffrey, you know, doesn't have the ball, a perfectly thrown ball, go through his hands, they probably beat the Saints on the road too. And then in last year's playoffs, I mentioned, you know, he gets concussed by Clowney on a questionable hit, but they didn't get destroyed without him. And basically, McCown did whatever, you know, he brought him to the same result Wentz was going to bring him to, or did bring him to in week 12 against the same team. So here it is. We're killing Peterson. But at what point do we conclude that this team functions no worse and often better simply when Wentz isn't their quarterback, no matter who else is? So what does that mean about Doug Peterson, who's on the hot seat, who I argue this team needs to get rid of, and he's coaching like he wants out? He appears, Peterson, to be an excellent coach when he's not saddled with Carson Wentz, as he has demonstrated an ability to make it work with whoever is playing, as long as it's not Wentz. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. Pat's out of the playoffs for the first time since 2008. That's a streak of 19 straight winning seasons snapped. Now, before I get to anything, give Brady his credit. I know Brady never gets enough credit. I'm the one person giving Brady credit. As much as I point out, hey, Belichick won 10 games with Matt Cassel. He was 11-5 altogether that season. They missed the playoffs. And he doesn't have Brady again. They missed the playoffs again. A team that literally never missed the playoffs with Brady, didn't have him twice. And even though they were okay, they were competitive this year, and they double-digit wins with Matt Cassel, they didn't make the playoffs either year. That's not coincidental. Brady's value is pretty obvious. But here's Bill Belichick and his reaction. Because the question now is Cam an NFL starter? Or is this the end of Cam as an NFL starter? Here is Bill Belichick's reaction to the Patriots being eliminated from the playoffs.
Disappointed, but we didn't deserve to win today. So
does it, I know it's hard to maybe look ahead already, but does it change your message at all with your players that the playoffs are officially off the table?
No, not too much.
Oh, it's so good. Cam Newton is not done as an NFL starter, I don't think, and I don't know if he's done in New England either. Let's examine what actually happened with Cam. He is a quarterback who never had a great completion percentage. That's not, you know, there are lots of different ways to achieve a result, right? What we notice is if you can't be a pocket passer, you don't win the Super Bowl normally. But pocket passing is a means to an end. It's not the end itself. The end is winning. And Cam was a winning enough quarterback, and he was by far the best player on the team, by far. Had no best receiver was his tight end, Greg Olsen. And his best running back was him, Cam Newton. And he took a team to the Super Bowl and was MVP of the league and was voted by his peers best player in the game. Now, he was inconsistent after that, sometimes making the playoffs, sometimes missing them, but generally a better than average NFL quarterback and sometimes a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Just not an MVP every year. But then he was having a really good season with Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator. Maybe even a better season in certain ways than his MVP year. And he got hurt. And that was the end of that season. He played a little bit hurt, and his stats went down, and the team started losing. And then it turns out, no, that's a catastrophic injury. He's going to miss a season, right? Okay. So is there reason to believe he can be successful on an NFL level? When last healthy, with some continuity on the team he'd always played for, he was quite good. He goes to the Patriots. The Patriots have no weapons. I mean, Brady looked like a middle-of-the-pack quarterback last year, put up those kind of stats, missed the receivers every way you could, and now this year looks much better because he has weapons, right? Didn't have them on the Patriots. Neither did Cam. But the difference was Brady had continuity for two decades. Cam is a brand-new situation. So rehabilitating from a catastrophic injury, brand-new situation, no receivers, guys off the defense to start the season, Patrick Chung and Hightower, Gilmore in and out of the lineup, their best defensive player, with injury. Cam, by the way, COVID hits. They can't practice in the preseason. Brand new team, but you can't practice with them. The facilities get shut down in the middle of the year. Can't practice with guys. Belichick can't do what he needs to do with a less than talented team, right? Cam has COVID, can't play. When he comes back, he's in a fog for a couple of weeks, and later on points to that. And even Belichick tapping him on the sidelines. It's okay. He wasn't right. All of that. He's two games under 500 and two plays away from being over 500. Two plays from reversing the record. 6-8 becomes 8-6 against the Bills and the Seahawks. Lots of quality wins. I don't think Cam is done as an NFL signal caller, as a starter. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Notre Dame deserved to be in over Texas A&M. No doubt next. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Max, the podcast.
I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, what we got, Raj?
All right, well, this weekend, you heard a lot about it, man, but the college football playoffs got it right, leaving Texas A&M out.
Nah, son. I think they got it wrong. I know they didn't play as many games, right, as Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's win against Clemson was BS. They didn't have their starting quarterback. When Clemson got their starting quarterback, they beat the brakes off Notre Dame. Meantime, Texas A&M, you know, their loss to Alabama was like, you know, they played Alabama tough. At least, the Florida team that Texas A&M beat played Alabama tough. I it's very, very close. I would make the argument, given the fact that it occurred toward the end of the year versus Texas A&M losing toward, you know, earlier in the season, I'd put Texas A&M in against Notre Dame. I don't think they deserve to get in the way they got beaten late in the season.
All right, check it out. Max Kellerman has all his holiday shopping done.
No doubt. I do Hanukkah, Raj. It's all done already.
See what I'm saying? So, yeah, I thought you did done. Kwanzaa.
I don't go holiday shopping. I have other people do that for me, Raj. The kids, okay. Listen, when my kids open gifts, I'm just as surprised by what they get as they are. I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, you like that I got you that paint set?
Surprise for the whole family. Surprise for the whole family.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, check it out. No longer holding their fate for the number one pick, the Jets must stick with Sam Darnold.
Nah, son.
Ah.
No, because Trevor Lawrence isn't the only quarterback in the draft. It may not even be the best one. Look, the bottom line is about Sam Darnold. He's a very good quarterback. He has the chance to be a good quarterback. He's still very young. He's a very young quarterback who has a chance to still be good. Not on the Jets. The Jets will ruin him. They'll ruin his career. The Jets need a quarterback who will be great no matter where he goes. Very few guys are like that. But there is belief that Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys. And the Jets need to either get him or a guy maybe as good as him in Justin Fields, right? You need to target a guy like that.
All right. Hey, Seahawks got the win yesterday, but man, they got no shot at the Super Bowl if Russell Wilson isn't playing at an MVP level.
No doubt. Russell Wilson either can win shootouts or they don't win. And by the way, they don't have to all be high-scoring games, but Russell Wilson must be the best version of himself where the Seattle Seahawks have zero chance to win a Super Bowl.
Zero.
Speaking of which, not if Russell Wilson doesn't play well. Saints making the right decision starting Drew Brees? Or did they make it against the Chiefs? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.